NowTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight. Who wants to walk with the lion?
Yeah. Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Because when the hounds come down to this ring, you got two choices. You get out of our yard, or we beat your ass.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Hey, we're live. It's the Raw Post Show live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. And boy, oh boy, was that a show tonight. We're going to talk about it right here, right now. I am Sir Rockin', joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
I feel like everybody in the group did their part, and they actually communicated with each other this time. And yeah, this felt much more cohesive. This made a lot more sense from a storytelling standpoint. This show works so much better than last week,
which is a good thing. But at the start, hey chat, have you heard of Amazon Prime? Good. Did you know you can link it to your Twitch account? It's called Prime Gaming, and you can use your Prime Gaming subscription here for free by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen.
Why did they have to change it? It was fine. I need to speak with somebody at Amazon.
It's
about
Boots
this.
The Ass's time.
Hey, thanks for the sub, Matt. 13 months in a row.
Ding.
Good job. That was a regular sub. That wasn't a Prime Gaming sub. Because that's a new thing. It's Prime Gaming.
I actually need to check mine because I think mine is coming up. Oh, wait, no. I have still have 6 days, so I have to renew it next week on the show, live, because, you know, my sub is coming up and I have to renew it.
There you go. So, yeah, they changed it to Prime Gaming.
Anyway, Raw.
To deadpan look at the computer, like, yep, yeah, Prime Gaming. Prime Gaming. Yeah. It's
a thing. It happened.
It's a thing. So, Monday Night Raw opened. Before we start with that, if I cough, I'm sorry, chat.
He's under the weather. He does not have the thing.
I don't have the thing.
It is not the plague. It is just he encountered a child with a runny nose. His immune system is crap, and now he is ill.
Yes, but I'm better. So if I cough...
He sounds better than he did last night.
I was death, which is why I was not on WTR.
He went to bed early. That's why WTR early ended
and it,
early last
night. And abruptly as it did. Anyway, Monday Night Raw opened with a contract signing. The first of his was of a kind. As tonight, Dominic Mysterio would sign a contract not only for a match against Seth Rollins at SummerSlam, but he would also sign a contract to become a WWE superstar. Samoa Joe was the one overseeing the contract signing. He built up Dominic. He ran down Seth Rollins. He cut an entire promo on Seth Rollins about how
he did it all while holding a big stick.
Yeah. It was like, you know, you used to be Seth freaking Rollins, Mr. Burn It Down. Now you're the so-called Monday Night Messiah and all this stuff. It was a great promo.
It was a fantastic promo. I think we can all agree that Samoa Joe is just literally the best at what he does, and nobody can touch him. And God, I wish he got to do more than what he does, because Samoa Joe beating the shit out of Seth Rollins would be highly entertaining.
It would.
But unfortunately, I don't think we'll ever get to see it. But Seth had an answer of his own,
which we'll get to in a minute. Dominic stood up for himself. He actually was able to speak as well, which was good. He wanted to be a wrestler, but he's now going to SummerSlam to kick Seth Rollins' ass.
Maybe.
Maybe. It is also a no DQ match now because he can bring any tool he wants from the toolbox to fight. Seth Rollins told him to get out of his ring so he could fight Humberto Carrillo in a match.
So Seth shot back at Joe. Basically, I was that guy, and you know who changed me. You know who made me become the Monday Night Messiah. It was everybody. It was everybody in the audience. It was everybody here. It was you. It was everybody in the back. I was Mr. Burn It Down. I was Seth freaking Rollins, and I got crapped on for it.
Yeah.
And so you know what? I became this. So basically, Bray Wyatt wasn't using his swamp cult leader gimmick anymore, so I just borrowed it from him, and now we're doing this.
So Seth beat Humberto Carrillo. Right afterwards, his buddy Murphy attacked Rey Mysterio at ringside, Dominic Mysterio at ringside. And okay, rule number one in professional wrestling: if you look at a wrestler and you see that there's a cut on the collar of their t-shirt when they're cutting a promo, you know their shirt's going to get ripped off.
Yep.
Dominic had a cut in his t-shirt. He got his shirt ripped off and then got the beating of a lifetime. He played the role of Tommy Dreamer. Just, he wasn't asking for another.
Yeah. Yeah, Seth and Murphy beat Dominic like a government mule. Literally. I mean, my God, that poor boy. Like, man, shouldn't really call him a boy. He's a man. He is a man. And he took his whooping like a man. Because, yeah, they showed how black and blue and messed up he was afterwards. Like, they were putting pictures out of it, and it just looked awful. Like, they were not gentle with him. Not gentle at all. They went for it. And, yeah. So, Dominic got beat up with kendo sticks while he was tied up in the ropes. I just have this question. Is Seth getting kinkier every week, or is it just me?
I mean, he could be.
Like, I feel like maybe he's a little frustrated, and so he's taking his kinks out in other ways. Just a thought. I don't know, but yeah, this was a really good, really strong segment.
So, people were wondering, hey, why did Samoa Joe stop the beating? He was told, and they made it clear at the start, which everyone forgot, because they didn't listen, that he had to mind his P's and Q's, and not do anything, or he would lose his job.
Yeah, you're an announcer, Joe. You have to be somewhat impartial.
Yeah. So he took his beating, like he was saying, beg for your mercy, and he was ranting at Ray with Seth Rollins, which was good. The only thing would have been maybe better. Not even the ghost of your, if he said something like, not even the ghost of your father, Eddie Guerrero, can help you now.
I'm waiting for somebody to go there, and they won't go there.
It's 15 years
Damn
ago.
It.
15 years ago.
It was... I mean, they did with like a picture. Seth put out a picture of him with like little Dominic, and it's like, aww.
Yeah.
Yeah, think about that. 15 years ago, we saw Dominic, and he was a child, and now he's back, and he's a man. This is so weird. This is just so weird. But yeah, this was a really good, strong opening segment. It set the matchup perfectly. It did everything it was supposed to do. I really like this. Not Dominic getting beat up. That was horrible. But it was
in a good way. Horrible in a good way.
Horrible in a good way. And yeah, this added a level to the story that it needed. It put the viciousness back in the story. Now please keep Seth vicious. Don't have him wuss out. Keep him vicious and have Dominic rise or sink, depending on how you want to look at it, to his level if need be, to get his revenge. Because yeah, Seth standing there directly taunting Ray as he's beating his son with a kendo stick was just beautiful. So super villain. It was great. It's like, where is that Seth been? I missed that Seth.
Right.
A lot.
So we move on. Zelina Vega and her crew were in the ring, and they were claiming they had nothing to do with the Montez Ford being poisoned last week.
Right.
It led to Andrade versus Angelo Dawkins. Angelo Dawkins got the win after Bianca pulled Zelina off the apron. We then had Bianca beat Zelina Vega in the solid little match they had.
She didn't beat her. She whooped her.
Yeah, she whooped her ass.
Like, there was no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Bianca just was like, no, you come here.
And then after the match, she said she got, Zelina got her ass whooped by the EST of WWE, and they were asking for an update. And, you know, Bianca also said, like, her and Ford try to keep their professional thing, you know, stay out of each other's way. But, you know, when my man gets poisoned, I gotta step in.
Like you do.
Dawkins said, if you really think Montez is going to miss the biggest part of the summer, you're dead wrong. They still want the smoke. Good setup for the match.
Really good setup for the match. What I really liked about this was Angel Garza kind of playing the Zelina part for this, where he was more of an accent piece and she and Andrade were doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, really liked this a lot and loved him at ringside and all his little antics. The best part, though, was when Angelo won because of Bianca and he was supremely confused as to how he won.
Yeah.
He got the pin and he was like, wait, what? Oh. Okay, we're doing that. All right. And at about that point, Bianca just like chucks Zelina into the ring like, let's go. Come on. I waited. I was patient. Let's go. Let's fight.
MVP had the VIP lounge. He blamed his losing to the technical difficulties. Apollo Crews taunted that he had MVP's U.S. title that he paid thousands of dollars for. MVP said Crews makes a bad lineup decision, including coming to ringside when he's outnumbered. Crews said he's allowed to make bad decisions because he's a bad man. Crews then said the lights will go out on MVP at SummerSlam. It led to Apollo Crews. Oh, also Apollo tossed the couch out of the ring. Apollo Crews, yep, and Shelton Benjamin had a match, which Shelton won. A little surprised.
I am, but I'm not. I think they're trying to. They built Bobby. They built MVP, and now they're trying to build up Shelton.
But he's the Apollo's the U.S. champ. He shouldn't be losing.
He shouldn't be, but one loss over Shelton won't hurt him that bad, especially since he'll probably get his win back against MVP or Shelton at some point.
Yeah. MVP stopped Lashley from hurting him because he needs him healthy, because last time, you know, he wasn't and missed the match, and then Apollo Crews hit him with an enziguri left the ring.
Yep.
Then, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, Retribution's here, Retribution's here. They have a cinder block. Oh my god, they threw it through the glass door. Oh my god.
They just got that fixed.
More on Retribution later. Mickie James is back, and she has Lana on her mind. Natty and Lana showed up wearing something. Lana called Natty.
They were wearing matching outfits that were cute.
Lana called Natty the Boat because she's the best of all time. Anyway.
Yeah, somehow Boat and Goat doesn't have the same ring to it.
Anyway, Mickey versus Natty next week.
Okay, I'm here for that.
Ivar was flirting with the Bachelorette chick.
Why is she there?
I don't know. I have legitimately no idea. They found the celebrity they could hire, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. Whatever. Led to, you know, the whole same old bit. He's cute. You're not. Anyway, Cedric Alexander, Ricochet, and the Viking Raiders took on Akira Tozawa and the Ninjas. Took a minute for all the destruction to happen. Team Viking Raiders got the win. One ninja didn't want to do anything. That ninja was R-Truth. He rolled up Tozawa. He got his title back.
Yay.
Drew McIntyre was backstage, and he talked about Randy Orton taking out the Legends for self-preservation. McIntyre said Orton will realize that Evolution has passed him by. McIntyre said he and Owens, if McIntyre was about to leave with Kirsten, Charlie asked him, what would happen if Owens beat Orton? McIntyre said he and Owens would have a long talk about the future of Raw. Peyton Royce beat Liv Morgan. Or, not Liv Morgan. Peyton Royce beat Liv Morgan.
Mm-hmm. And in an interesting contest, because it led to an interesting finish, and it led to a little disagreement between Liv and Ruby.
They're not back on the same page quite yet. They're trying.
No, they're working on it. They're working on it. It's slow to sort of mesh back together, because Liv thought for a second that it was Ruby that attacked her, and Ruby's like,
wasn't me.
It was the other one. There were two of us out here. It was the other one that did it. Not me. So we'll see how that progresses.
Time to get into the underground. Riddick Moss beat Cal Bloom, which was fine.
I'm reserving all comments until after we get through all the matches.
But before we get to more of those matches, Asuka, Bayley, go.
This was so good. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. This was so good. Bailey was not happy about having to face Asuka, and Asuka brought her A game because she put Bailey down for the count. And, well, Sasha's got to face Asuka again.
Yep.
And this time there's no Kairi Sane for the distraction, so
things can get interesting at SummerSlam.
Especially if they get Bailey banned from ringside. Just saying.
Just saying, yeah. So, back in the underground, Arturo Ruiz, Brazilian amateur wrestler, destroyed people and knocked some dude out.
Yeah, he did. He grabbed a man where he shouldn't be grabbed. I don't think he was appreciative of that at all.
No. That was someone else.
Well, that was somebody else.
No, this was the Brazilian guy. The next guy, Dabo Kato.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
The big guy. He grabbed him by the junk and then knocked him out.
Which he's not happy about.
Then Shayna Baszler got in the ring.
And it's like, oh, okay, this just got real interesting because I bet she actually could take him down in real life, knowing her reputation.
Then she went 3-on-1 with women.
Yeah, so they're basically like, no, we're not going to let you fight the big mean dude. You have to challenge some of the women that are here. And Shayna was like, any takers? Any takers? Nope, nope. Okay, all right, I'm just going to pick somebody. And she proceeds to pick a girl up, chuck her in the ring, and start beating her up. And then about two other girls jumped in to help, and yeah, they all lost.
Yeah. That was cool seeing Shayna do it.
It's a good environment for Shayna to be in, because she can show off her skills better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want her to be there permanently, but it's a good environment to have the more MMA-focused individuals in, because they can fight versus wrestle. Which is not a bad thing. It's just you get to see their specific skill set that they have look so much better. Because, like, Shayna punched one chick, and chick sold it like $1 million because it looked like Shayna had just knocked her out.
Yeah.
With, like, one punch. So Shayna looked like a beast. And that's it for the Underground, right? We closed with Shayna on that.
Yep.
So for the Underground, I liked how they did it better this week. I'm still not necessarily into it because it's just not my thing. But I like how it was more condensed. You only had one cutaway from it. And it just made more sense that way. We put it right at the top of the 10 o'clock hour and they saved the main event for the main event. Because last week it was they were cutting back and forth a lot in it and they were dispersing it through that final hour, which was fine, but they had basically saved everything for the final hour, so it was really confusing with all the back and forth. So this time the final hour wasn't as heavily booked. They had dispersed things out through the show, and so this felt better this week than it did last week.
Also, Retribution turned over a car.
Okay, I have to ask this question. What is the point of Retribution?
To cause chaos, disruption.
You know, they would be a lot more effective if they say, I don't know, like barricaded themselves in the TV truck and Raw open with them, or SmackDown open with them making demands to, we'll release the truck if, or them holding the cameras hostage, or them holding the microphones hostage, or them doing other things. Like, if all they're there for is to cause minor property damage, then realistically, what is the point? Because aren't they supposed to invoke change?
Eventually.
If they just continue to break cars and windows and everything, it's stupid. It's like, yeah, they're flickering the lights and they're taking down the lights and they're screwing with that, which there were no fake power outages this week. There was kind of a fake.
We'll get to that.
When Montez came out. But, like, in terms of everything else, like, what they're doing isn't necessarily impacting the overall flow of the show. Like, if you look at past groups that have kind of gone along this line with which is what Rock and I were kind of talking about before the show. It's like you talk about the Shield, who would just come out, disrupt, beat somebody up, and leave. You know, and that would majorly disrupt the show. Nexus would kind of do the same thing.
Aces and Eights and TNA.
You know, on down the line. And it's like, I get you're trying to do something different with these guys, but when you're comparing them to other rebellious, and I use that in quotations, factions that have come along in the past, yeah, okay, they beat some people up on SmackDown, but they beat up audience members. They're not necessarily doing anything to overall impact the show in any memorable way, especially what happened right after this. It's like, when are you going to have them come out and like majorly disrupt the show? Because it's like, even Daniel Bryan, like Daniel Bryan took over Raw, brought fans in the ring, and held Raw hostage. And he didn't even mean to. That just happened, yeah. Right? So there's other ways to do it, I feel like, that just the way that they're going with it, it's like, yeah, okay, it's awesome. They're destroying shit. Yay. And I get it's only in the second week, but you know what? If you want them to have an impact and for people, I feel like, to be interested in them, because at this point it's like, oh, they're just going to like break stuff. Why should I give a damn about them? Somebody call security or something and get them out of there. You know, that's kind of the reaction. It's like, they're not really doing enough for anybody to really care. You know, have them do something where it's like, oh, you know, we're going to invade the TV truck. We're going to hold the TV truck hostage. They get a handheld cam, go get it out of Dean Ambrose's bedroom. And, you know, basically say, we're holding the show hostage. The truck hostage. Till our demands are met, you know, which is whatever.
And I think when they actually have a focus. Yeah.
But I don't understand why they're running it without a focus.
Ratings.
I understand that. But they have something for ratings. They have Raw Underground. That very clearly brought them ratings. But it's like, for Retribution, it's like, you're calling them Retribution. They're running around with baseball bats and spray cans and Molotov cocktails and everything else. And it's like, yeah, they're having fun. They're getting to break stuff up. You know, it's like, I think at one point Retribution was supposed to be strictly Raw, but for ratings purposes, I think they've taken it across both shows. Also, both shows are taped at the same facility pretty much at the same time, or at least the same week. And when I say same time, I really mean same week. So it's kind of back to back in terms of the way that the shows are produced. So it's like, it makes sense to just have them across every show. Because they're already there, they're already filming, everything's set up for them, so they can just shoot it all, and they can interdisperse it as they need to, because if you look at how they're doing them, short of, I think, SmackDown, where they actually came out and destroyed the set, or the ring.
It's outside shots.
It's all outside, so they shot a bunch of stuff with them outside doing things that they can intersperse through either show. The only thing that they really made sure that it was like, yes, this is going to be on this show, was the SmackDown stuff. And that was it. So it's like, they can use it as they need to. So if they're seeing that they're getting more of a hit on it on SmackDown, they may move it over to SmackDown. They're seeing more of a hit on Raw, they may move it exclusively over to Raw. But it's something that at least they can carry across both shows, because you don't know who these people are right now. So they're not specified to any one brand. Now, once we learn who the group is, that may change. But for right now, you can take them across both brands just for interest. And we'll probably be seeing, depending on how much longer they stay at the PC, more cross-branding. Just because it makes sense for them to do that, because they have talent there that they can use.
Randy Orton, Kevin Owens.
Great match.
Good match. Randy would eventually get the win. And then Randy told Ric Flair to stick around after the break, because we need to talk. Randy Orton told Ric Flair that his mouth and ego were the reason he had the match with Kevin Owens. He said he can't be mad, though, Ric. He talked about Ric Flair saving him from a situation he got himself into in Peoria, whatever happened. Orton talked about how he loved and he respected Ric Flair, but he said he no longer does. You're a liability to me. Orton said Flair took him under his wing because he wanted him to be the son that he wished he had. Sorry, David. Randy asked Rick if he was going to cry. He told him that all he's good for now is crying. Come on, Randy, Rick. Sob like a baby. Orton said Flair isn't the guy that everyone looked up to years ago. Orton said he looked up to Flair when he looked up to Flair when he wouldn't need a pacemaker, or that when he slipped into a coma 2 summers ago. Orton said that Flair looked up to, he isn't the Ric Flair he looked up to that up to wasn't a whore for the spotlight like he is now. Orton said Ric Flair's washed up and can't do it anymore. Orton said that he has a chance to win the WWE Championship at SummerSlam, and that's the only thing Flair should be worried about, but it's not. Ric Flair said, I'm taking this personal, man. He said that he's not the Ric Flair from 2001. He says he likes the spotlight. He's 71 years old and he's still Raw. He's got guys like Hulk Hogan calling him, asking him how it is. He said, it's the greatest feeling in the world. He said he wants Randy's approval, and he wants to be there when Orton wins his 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th championship to break his record, not John Cena's, his record. Rick said Orton knows what he went through during his career. He said Orton is the greatest performer in the world today. He said he loves being there with Randy. But he can't get mad anymore because after being in intensive care and in a coma for 12 of those days, all he wanted to do was tell the people he hadn't told that he loved them. Orton said, "You're Charlotte's dad, and he wants to be part of Orton's life. He's not Ric Flair anymore." Then Orton grabbed the mic, sort of figuring it all out, and then hugged Ric Flair. And we're going, waiting, waiting, waiting. There's the low blow. Randy then gently placed Ric Flair on the ground, knelt over him, thanked him for everything. Randy set up the kick. The lights were flickering. Goes for the kick. Lights go out. Kick. Lights come back on, and Ric Flair's dead. Down and out. Drew McIntyre comes out. Called him a son of a bitch. And then he vowed retribution without saying retribution because you can't. "I'm going to hurt you, Randy. I'm going to hurt you, you bad, you evil son of a bitch." Good stuff. So this was really good.
This was fantastic next level storytelling and how they did this. I don't think Randy is the leader of Retribution. Because when Randy leads a faction, they typically take out your enemy's wife. And then you do weird, creepy things with them in the ring. Anyway, yeah. So I loved how they did this. Poor David Flair. Poor David Flair. Feel bad for him. But this was great. I love this. I especially loved how they had Randy take out Rick, where, you know, he very gently lowers him to the ring and he's like, "You know what? I'm just going to do the thing." And instead of, you know, showing the 70-something year old man take the pump to the head, you have the lights go out. And when you come up, Rick is down for the count. That was really, really well done. Very nicely portrayed. Love the stuff between Randy and Rick, because there's so much history between the two of them. And this is I feel like this is a nice closure for the two of them.
Yeah.
Where Randy has now moved beyond what Ric Flair can do for him and doesn't need him anymore. And so he's sending him on his way. But yeah, Randy with the whore for the spotlight line. It's like, oh, okay, we're going there. Got it. Great stuff. And this was a great way to close Raw.
Yeah, it was. Cliffhanger, too.
Perfect way to close Raw. This was a much better ending than what it was last week. Again, this made complete sense. It was a great setup for Randy and Drew. It just added that heat to it. They're doing... This show, overall, like I said, felt more put together. Feels like everybody did their homework this time. They actually thought about it. Whereas, even though these shows were probably taped one day apart, between last week and this week, there is a world of difference between last week and this week.
They were taped back to back. Same day, same day.
I don't know who booked last week and who booked this week, but whoever booked this week, they need to just do it. Okay, just let them do the thing. Because this show, it had a nice feel, it didn't really drag a lot, it was interesting, there was a lot of stuff going on throughout it. It all was spaced well. I like this show so much better. Because I was having, like, such reservations going into the show. Like, God, I do not want to watch this because of last week. I was like, there's so many other things that I could be watching or doing right now, as opposed to sitting down and watching another 3-hour Raw. And so I'm so happy that this show was good, because it's like, if this show was bad, I would probably be sitting here crying. Because reasons.
Reasons. But that's the Raw Post Show. Got through the show, y'all.
Did it.
Thursday, we're doing another.
We are. Tune in. We'll have news, notes, NXT. I believe we will have a discussion. Don't know what that's going to be yet, but we will figure that out. So it's The Rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com.
Saturday night, midnight-ish, CB Radio.
We should all congratulate Rob.
Yeah, tweet Rob at CB Radio GOA and send a good congratulations. He's a father. Officially a father now. Not a pseudo stepfather. He's actually a father. Yeah. So send him a congrats at CB Radio GOA. Talk about it Saturday if they're around. Sunday night, they'll be previewing SummerSlam, 10 p.m. Eastern on WrestleTalk Radio. We'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio.org. Hey, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Twit, I mean Prime Gaming. And you can subscribe for free by hitting that purple rectangular button below the screen. Prime Gaming. Use creator code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad. Hashtag I'm a partner with Fortnite with friends on Thursdays and Saturdays.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LANSWRD, and directly on Twitch here, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward.
So this has been the Raw Post Show presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday night for the Rack. And right back here for the Raw Post Show every Monday night, along the airways of the Wild Talk Radio Network, right here at WildTalkRadio.com.
WildTalkRadio.com.